According to a study published in the American Academy of Pediatrics, less work and more play helps a child to learn, develop socially, and promotes better health. Researchers also reported that curbing free time at school robs youngsters of needed exercise, leads to unruly classrooms, and ultimately the tragedy of listening to...
Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
A new car alarm attacks thieves' self-esteem. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. The SoundQuest Car Alarm Company announced a breakthrough today that goes further than merely scaring thieves away with loud noises. The company's new anti-auto theft system harshly attacks would-be criminal self-esteem, blaring such messages as, "You are a loser," and "What's the matter? Couldn't get your GED?" Company spokesperson Ben Riegert.
Any car thief trying to steal a car armed with our alarm system will end up in a ball crying like a baby. I mean, these things can hurt you.
Riegert adds the company is working to develop an alarm capable of projecting pictures of the thief's girlfriend sleeping with his best friend, Roberto. Well, Redland for the Onion Radio News online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
On the drive to work, you tuned to a wacky, zany morning show and heard them say something distasteful. You can't believe your ears. You were just shocked by a shock jock.
Isn't that what a shock jock does?
Now, you're gonna do something about it.
Get that monster fired! Yeah.
So the next time you see a guy protesting your favorite morning show because it messed with his PC sensibilities, exercise your First Amendment rights and give a single finger salute to Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio, a real American hero.
Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
You know, there is this thing called a tuner, and it actually lets you change the radio station. Isn't that incredible?
And now it's time for the best morning show on radio, broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio in Studio City, California. Get ready for Sam in the Morning.
And good morning and welcome to Tuesday, September 22nd, and we have beautiful Sherry in the studio yet once again, and she's always going to be here.
Yay! So well, at least I know what I have to do in the morning.
Yeah, so maybe I don't need to announce it.
I don't know, I kind of like the big grand entrance. If you'd roll out a red carpet for me, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I'm thinking so.
Yeah, you like red carpets?
Yeah, why not? And then like little boys around me with grapes and fans.
Yeah.
Like I even like my job even more.
Yeah, there you go. Well,
how
we're glad
today?
To have you here.
Thanks.
I'm great. Something's in my eye, but okay, now I'm good.
I already had a comment for that.
Yeah. No, it's not big and cylindrical.
Really, after a while, the pain will go away.
Yeah.
Just have someone lick it out for you. It's fine.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. We walk in the morning, it's freezing in here. The moment we sit down, it's warm. You know, I don't know what
I don't know. I walk in here, and the moment I sit down, you start complaining.
I know. I knew you'd say that.
Someone wrote me yesterday and they said, "You're already making a difference with Sam." I'm like, "I haven't seen it yet. We'll see."
Yeah, no, it's sinking in.
I tried with the valet guy this morning.
Yeah.
And I got a little smile out of him, so that was a good thing.
Yeah.
That was a good
no,
thing.
I mean, I learned to kill people with kindness, you know.
But you're just gonna say kill them.
Yeah. Yeah, kill them with kindness.
Right. I tried this morning, actually, because I have... I was going to say a couple of character flaws. Not many. Not many. Just
okay.
A few. One of them is impatience, like with drivers. Like,
uh-huh.
So one time you'll see me kind of get angry a little
really?
Bit. Yeah. So
wow, I can't believe it.
I know. Me neither. I'm like the nice church lady that comes out and all sweet, and then I get in my car and I put my seat back. I get my shotgun out. Two opposing people.
I know. Sometimes I feel like doing the same thing, man.
But this morning was like really, I woke up and I said, I'm going to have patience today in the car. Like, mm. Every, and also, people that people that are incompetent, yes. You know, when things seem so straightforward and easy, that kind of irritates me a little bit,
too. Yeah, you get impatient, right?
So today was the ultimate test for both. I went to my Starbucks, and I decided to leave late because I'm really obsessive about time.
Right.
And I was like, okay, you don't need to leave an hour early to drive like a couple of miles, Sherry. It's okay. So I left 15 minutes later, and my heart starts palpitating because I'm looking around going, I'm going to be late. I'm going to be late. And I'm like, no, Sherry, calm down. It's all going to be okay. I get to Starbucks. And there are like five people ahead of me, normally fine, but the guy, this is such God testing my patience, the guy was making one drink at a time. And so he was just like watching the espresso go and not working on the next drinks. And inside I'm like, why isn't he doing his job? And I'm like, Sherry, it's fine. And then finally the other barista came up and he was like, what are you doing? He was like, why aren't you making the other drinks? He said, well, you're not supposed to put one drink in front of the other one. And the guy's like, well, you can at least work on them. So inside I was like, yes, thank you for telling him, because I was about to explode.
I know. It's like these people, you know, I mean, there's not much expected of them to work at Starbucks. And they even that they can't do right.
I've never seen anyone like literally just watch the espresso like go into the cups and not do anything else except stand there and wait. Like, and then on the way here, I hit every traffic light. And
really?
So, yeah, it was just this biggest test of like patience on all accounts, and competent people and time.
I know.
And I just kept breathing.
I know. There's nothing worse than pressuring yourself in time and then being stuck in traffic.
Right.
You know?
It was like the worst combination. But I got here and still early.
You did get here. That's cool. That's more we can say for some of the other co-hosts.
Ooh. That,
yeah.
That's okay, Sam. Today I'll get to be the only dirty whore.
Yeah.
I at least felt a good balance there.
Yeah. No, I was talking in the past, actually. You know, you can't get people to show up on time. I
just
don't know what
general
the fuck
people.
It is.
Yeah.
But yeah, you will find me complaining quite a bit. No, I mean, that's why we have a radio show, so
right.
We can rant.
No,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. And it makes me, again, it's like watching reality TV. It makes me feel better about my own life. I'm like, wow, at least I don't hate life as much as Sam does.
Oh, God forbid. No, I don't hate life at all. I love
know
it.
You don't.
It's just I was raised that way, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, being raised in Israel, also, people are very impatient there, you know, because it's just very crowded there.
Yeah.
You know, everywhere you go, people push you, and there's no such thing as lines, you know, for the bus
right.
or the movies. You just kind of, there's just like a bunch of people. That's pretty much it.
Like,
no
best
lines.
Man wins.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
But then you would think that you'd get here and you'd be like, oh, this is paradise.
It is. It
know?
Is for me, yeah.
But you just decided to make it hell for everybody else.
Yeah, you know.
I
suppose so.
You're so fun to pick on.
Thank you.
No,
thank
it's okay.
You.
It's probably because I get picked on by my friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now I bring it to you.
No, that's fine. That's the point of the show.
It's good. I have to tell you about this crazy text I got yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I'm home last night, and after talking about young boys on air yesterday, I think for a minute with you about,
yeah,
oh,
about
no, girls,
the altar boys.
Girls. Yes, altar boys, and then also...
And the six-year-old girl.
Yes, correct. Yeah. I get this text, and it says, and it's from a phone number, so there's no name attached, and it says, good news, between 5:20 and 7:20 p.m., I got you one, a seven-year-old boy. And I just looked, I read that, and I was like, what does this mean? And I started thinking, is my phone number up on the website? Like, am I starting to get, like, crazy fan mail, like, weird, dirty things?
Uh-huh.
And but there was a part of me that wanted to respond and been like... Well, is he my type?
Yeah.
Like, but then I thought, I don't know this person, and they might take it the wrong way. So I just wrote back, huh? Like
yeah.
the text.
Uh-huh.
And they wrote, oh, God, that must have sounded like molestation. And she's like, babysitting. I was talking about babysitting. Like, I found you. And then I was like, who is this? And she was like, isn't this Grace? I'm like, no, wrong number.
Oh, wow.
But I was like, thank God I didn't write back. Is he my type? Like,
yeah.
Because I would have come up like some psycho crazy molest. Like, but I was so tempted to.
Yeah,
and I was
you'll
just,
stop at nothing.
But it was just so weird. How it was the same day I was talking about young boys, and she's like, I found you one.
Uh-huh.
I was like, all right, Sherry, sometimes you got to know when to edit yourself.
Yeah, so a listener called me about this altar boy thing and stuff.
Uh-oh.
But I told him call in, you know, and because no, I mean he wrote something funny about it.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember what it was. So I told him, yeah, call in and tell us about it. You
okay.
know? He says, now I'm too old to be an altar boy.
Actually, I listened to the show yesterday, and I just kept thinking, I'm going to get hell, because just that one comment that I made, I said, church, it fucks with your head and fucks you in the ass. I like wanted to put it as my Facebook status.
Yeah, there you go.
But I didn't think it would go well like with my like, love the world.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I was going to tell you, you're a little concerned with what's going to happen in your career later on and stuff. But you got to remember something. This is not porn, you know. This is not like, I mean, you talk like everybody else talks, you know.
Yeah.
And if people don't like it, that sucks, you know. And, I mean, they've got a problem. But I don't think, like, an Oprah would have a problem if she did a show 20 years ago and she used dirty language.
No, I'm getting used to it. I think I just have voices in my head of, like, my mother.
Yeah.
actually, my mom knows I'm a dirty skank.
Jewish guilt works very well, and it's persistent.
Yeah, but then I've also had people been like, you know, if you want to be in the industry, you need to be really careful about what you put out there and stuff, because it all gets back to you. But I've really come to terms with, you know what, like, as long as I'm being me and true to myself, like, at the end of the day, that's really, like, what I can be proud of.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing what you want to do,
yeah,
you know?
And I've come to terms with I'm a dirty whore.
Yeah, there you go.
And I'll let the world know.
So maybe don't strive for an Oprah position, but, you know, something similar.
Oprah, yeah, maybe just talk show in the nude.
Yeah.
I don't know. Fair enough. Well, no, I am, you know, my friend said the same thing. It was like, well, you're never going to be Oprah because no one's ever anybody else, you know.
Right,
and
right.
I was like, that's true. I'll forge my own path, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You
so
know?
I know I'm getting over it. I'm actually learning to, like, laugh at myself and just be okay with it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, what the hell? You know, people talk. It's just like sometimes it's just ingenuine, you know, when people are like, you know, pretending, oh, you know, I don't talk dirty and all that stuff. But people love this stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is the way that you and I are speaking, the way that I hang out with my friends. Like, this is me, but I just never put it on the air.
The whole world knows.
The whole world knows.
Yeah, but they're falling in love with you. That's good. You know.
Are they cute?
Yeah.
And do they have other hot friends?
We'll have to look for them. Yeah.
Send in your pictures.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Sherry doesn't have a lot of expectations. As long as you're hot, that's good. You pass the test.
But don't send a cock shot. I'm not interested.
No cock shot.
No cock shot.
Yeah, except if you hold your dick
and
in your hand.
And you're smiling. See, that's all I need.
Yeah.
Those are the expectations.
Did you see the movie Bruno when they showed did you see the movie?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember the part with the penis, like, dancing and stuff and talking?
I remember looking at that and being like, why? I don't get it. At that point, and then it was, I just don't, it's not really attractive unless you're, like, right in the moment. Like,
yeah.
You know, if a guy just stands up in front of me naked, I'm like, put your clothes on.
Yeah. Doesn't appeal to you
that
much.
No, not really.
Well, you are a true woman then.
That's probably why married women, they stop having sex. They're like, I see it all the time, bending over in the shower, walking through the house. It's not attractive anymore. When you're single, you're like, wow, cock.
Yeah.
Give me some more of that. Exactly. Exactly.
So we're going to have a couple of guests today. We're going to talk to, what was his name again? Neil Zlozauer. I think that's the way you pronounce it. And he published a book on, like a photo album on Motley Crue. So we're going to talk to him. We missed the interview last week.
Is he waiting for us to call?
I think he is.
Okay.
He was last week, too.
I don't know what happened.
Phones
must have been down in his crappy studio with the unair conditioning.
Yeah, but they claimed it was fine, you know. So I said, all you have to do is listen to the replay and see that we tried, you know.
It's true. We did try several times.
Yeah, we did. And then we're going to have a MILF porn actress, or porn star, like they like to be called. And
how old do you have to be MILF? MILF is just a mother.
Yeah,
right?
MILF is a mother. Now, I don't know if she is, you know, but usually, or you can call them cougars or something.
Right.
Yeah, but that's if they go with younger guys.
Right.
Right. So
is
they can be older.
Is there a certain age for
cougar? I don't know. I would say, you know, late 30s, 40s maybe.
I got called a cougar.
Really?
I was a little insulted by it.
You should be.
I was like, I'm not a cougar. I'm too young to be a cougar. And then I looked at my wrinkles. I'm like, maybe not so much.
Well, you are in your mid-30s. You know, I guess if you were with a 22-year-old guy, that would be a cougar.
Or a molester.
No, a molester. Or just a really hungry chick.
True. You just call them your cubs. My little cubs.
Yeah, so we need to find out what makes a woman get into porn at such a late age, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how old she is, but...
she's a mom. Well, I guess she could be any age at a mom.
Yeah, I don't know. She just goes by MILF porn star, so...
Awesome.
So that was it. But I couldn't find her anywhere on the internet.
Conversation.
Yeah.
We're going to try to avoid sex talk today. No. I walked in this morning and Sam said we're having a MILF, and I'm like, wow, this show is going to be different than any other show.
Yeah.
We'll have no tit talk. Tit talk with Sam and Sherry.
Tit talk. Yeah, that's a good department in the show. Yeah, let's do this. A little segment.
Oh, Sam and Sherry sass.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Oh, the Jew and the Jewess. You see, I was going to call it the Jew, the Jewess, and the Shiksa.
I know,
Shiksa.
But we're so far from the Jews, yeah, though. Yeah.
You can't escape your background.
That's true. It does follow roots, you. Yeah. Or at least the guilt does, like we said.
Yeah. But you grew up in Florida, right? There was a lot of Jews around you.
There's
and stuff,
a ton
right?
of Jews around there. But also, yeah. like, more, actually, like, South Americans.
Really?
More than anything.
Yeah.
Like, and
yeah,
Cubans and all that. I grew up around all. Yeah.
Most
Hispanic
of them are
people.
Not Jewish.
Yeah. That's true. And I think that's why I started dating them at a young age.
Yeah.
I mean, just dating, like, Hispanics.
Yeah.
Just came out of the womb and I'm like, fuck me. You over there on the banana boat.
Yeah, I'm sure your parents like that, huh?
I'm telling you, my dad taught me everything I know.
Really?
but the funny thing is that I sent the link to all my friends and family about being on the show, and uh-huh. I got to his name, and I was like, Skip!
Yeah, he doesn't need to know, right?
I mean, he knows I'm on a radio show, uh-huh. and I told him, you know, I was like, it's a bit risque, and he was like, do I want to hear it? And I was just thinking, well, you took me to Howard Stern and Andrew Dice Clay, so maybe.
Yeah.
But that'd be kind of gross.
Yeah, except when it's your daughter, right?
Right, exactly. So yeah. I sent it to my uncle, who's his brother. Uh-huh. And my uncle always reads everything that I email right away, and I have not heard back from him.
Oh, no.
And I'm just like, oh, God. He's talking, like, he's either, like, having a heart attack yeah. on the floor, or he's talking to my dad about it.
Except I'm sure they know what they have on their hands, right?
Well, again, I think my dad still thinks I'm a virgin.
Really?
I don't know. Even when he finds out if I'm dating someone, he always says, how old is he?
Yeah.
And just recently, I was kind of, well, seeing someone for like a week.
Yeah.
I always get excited when I get to see someone.
Yeah.
he suddenly calls him my boyfriend. I'm like, no.
Let's take a quick phone sure. call, sorry, before they hang up. Good morning. You're on the air. Who is this?
Hey, this is Chris in Colorado, the guy who's too old to be an altar boy.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Chris, how are you, man?
Never too old
That's
to get fucked in the ass.
Yeah, my ex-wife, though, she did a pretty good job of raping me, but, you know, I guess I'm the only guy.
Yeah.
Can't rape the willing.
I don't think he was willing.
There was no willing in that court case.
Yeah, I think he's talking about divorce.
Oh. Yeah. Sorry, That's me true. Too.
She
I'm
cleaned
thinking,
you out.
I am thinking about suing the church, though, because my self-esteem is such crap.
Yeah.
I was an ugly child. I just wasn't good enough.
Yeah. So, I mean, you weren't an altar boy, though, right?
Oh, I was an altar boy.
You were?
Yeah.
But you weren't lucky enough to be seduced by a priest.
I think there were some Haitian nuns out there. I don't know, but yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, does it tall and too old.
Does it, you know, because I'm not involved in the church, but you hear all the stories, does it, I mean, did you know of other altar boys that were getting it on?
No.
Good.
So
there's less than 1%. It's just, hell, if I wanted to make money, I could say the church did that to me and get away with it. It's bullshit.
That's true, huh? I mean, you can...
Yeah.
But don't you think they have to have some kind of proof in that, you know? I mean, I don't know how you can prove something like
not
that.
Not anymore.
No, huh?
Not anymore. It's the Catholic Church, please.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a sense of humor like you guys. Well, you guys got a little more...
we don't have a word for it either.
A little more depressed than we are, but, you know, we have our own issues. But, yeah. I mean, it's just bullshit.
Yeah.
Again, that's why I drank.
So they really did screw with your head.
Yeah. That
no,
and the court
I'm just Irish. It's kind of genetic.
Oh, fair enough.
I see. Okay. How long were you married for?
7 godforsaken years.
7
my
years.
Dog years. Actually, 49.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
And then I was military at the same time. So, yeah, it was a fun time for me.
Yeah. How did you this is amazing. How did you come up with the number 49?
Dog years.
I go by dog years.
Oh, by dog years. Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's a Jewish thing also.
Yeah, how is that?
I've heard you talk about your ex, Sam. Come on.
About the what? The ex, Sam?
Your ex-wife.
Oh, my ex-wife. Yeah, I've talked.
Yeah.
Those are like hell years. Every year was a hell year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm still reminded by it. Yeah.
Oh, God. I just finally finished paying off child support in June, and I walked out of my building saying, free at last, thank God I'm free at last.
See, yeah. My dad was going to say the same thing, but it's your child. It's not like it's your, like you're paying alimony, like free right. from your children.
But you know what? When you pay child support to the ex-wife, it feels like you're paying her.
Yeah, and they don't see it. I send it to my boys, actually, to help them out. As long as they're going to school, they get it. So
right.
See, because my...
But still, I get to see that.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad was paying child support to my mom all the time, and he always felt like if he didn't give it to us directly, right. that she was spending it in other ways. But even if she was putting it towards the rent, like, she's still using her money on our food and everything. Right, so ultimately, right. it goes to the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she got,
fuck
she
my
got
children.
Married right after our divorce.
Yeah.
Well, she found a guy while we were going through our divorce, and after she did, it's funny how it moved through quickly, you
yeah.
know?
And
she
then
he made pretty good money, but, you know, I was out there last year for my one of my kids' graduations, and they live in a trailer house. It's shit.
Yeah.
But I know how much money he makes. I know how much money she makes. I know where my money goes to. It's just like, oh, for God's sakes, yeah. please.
Yeah, it's so, tough, you know, I mean, it's really tough. I mean, now, my ex-wife is, like, going back 15 years now to look like, did you give me enough, you know?
Oh,
maybe
like
we should reevaluate this.
Really?
Yeah, and I mean, my kids are grown already,
yeah.
you know? So, they never leave you alone. It's like, you know, they stick their claws inside of you, and you're married to them forever, you
I
know?
I think, like, I'm 35, and 3 months ago, I was like, Dad!
Yeah,
like, I thought at 18
married,
it was
going to
stop.
Lucky.
Yeah. What was that, Chris?
Oh, she's never been married, I don't think, right?
No, yeah. never.
Yeah, she's
God
smart.
God bless you.
Yeah, she's smart. But you know what? It's amazing. But, you know, they talk about the seven-year itch, and it seems like a lot of people break up after 7 years. You just mentioned that.
That's when my parents got divorced. It's
really?
7 years. Mm-hmm.
And you see me, too, you know? And it's amazing.
See, we went 6 years, and the last year, the seventh year, we were in divorce court. If she had met this guy earlier, I would have been 6 years and however many times. So.
Right.
How long have you been with your wife, Sam, right now, your new wife?
The new wife, 5 years.
Uh-oh.
It's coming up soon.
She better start showing up to the door nude with food on the table for the next 2 years.
I got an extra couch, man. I'm out here in Colorado. I can hide you.
Oh, great. Now he wants my wife. Great.
No. This is a brother thing.
I see. Oh, you mean for me? I can go on the couch. I see. Okay.
Yeah, you can crash here. Cool.
Sounds
you
good.
Hide.
You still have a good 2 years to go.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, take advantage of them. Chris, where in Colorado do you live?
I live just a little suburb outside of Denver.
Oh, I see. Did you live there all your life?
I started listening to you guys three hosts ago.
Three hosts ago.
Host or hose.
Jesus Christ. What the fuck?
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's L.A. for you, man. I mean, people can't commit for a long time, you know?
I'm pretty
stable.
Yeah, we'll see how Sherry's going to be.
Now, like, I feel all this guilt. Eric is guilty, and I'm like, I'm never leaving.
Well, Sherry's not from there, though. She lives somewhere else.
That's
maybe,
right.
Who knows?
That's
maybe
true.
She'll work.
Well, most people have, come from other places and stuff. But, you know, it's the nature of the city here. You know, people,
it's a transitory city.
Yeah, and they don't like steady jobs either, you know. People just like to go for audition. And.
Well, if it means anything to you, Sam, I've been at my restaurant job for 10 years.
Oh, really?
And one job, wow. So
yeah,
I'm a very loyal person.
You're trying to be an actress. I think you have to be a waitress, right?
Yes, but waitress, but most of them out here change restaurants constantly.
Yeah.
I'm probably one of the only servers that have been, like, their place for 10 years. You know, I'm really...
Yeah, I can't do that.
I'm loyal.
I've been at, you know, I was active duty for a long time, and then this job, thank God.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. What do you do now?
I got to work. What's that?
What do you do now?
I'm a hooker. No, I work for one of the phone companies around here. I'm a repair manager or purchasing manager, but I don't have outside customers. It's a long story.
Oh, good.
But I enjoy it.
It's a long story. Yeah, I was molesting my customers.
My altar.
Well, so they have to pay me for that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm Catholic, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's one of the words I use.
Yeah.
Everybody's messed in the head.
Yeah.
No matter what religion you're coming from.
Too easy, man.
Yeah.
I told my dad before he passed away last year, and this might have killed him. I said, you know, but he laughed. I said, you know, I think I'm going to sue the church because I wasn't good enough. And he just started laughing. My mom was in horror.
Yeah.
Because God forbid you speak out against the church. But please.
They're like, that wasn't the church that told you. That was your dad.
My dad. Right. Yeah, he was in education for years. So if anyone has a sense of humor, it's him.
Yeah. Well, this is awesome. Well, Chris, thank you so much for calling, man. We're getting ready for the interview. And I'm glad you called because he sent me an email yesterday and I asked him to call. So.
Oh, well, thanks for listening.
Thanks,
call me and I go,
all right. Yeah, always feel free to call, man, anytime.
And I'm not getting replaced anytime soon, so don't you worry.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, yeah.
Well, that's not the problem. It's you got to show up.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
I've
yeah.
only thought of one downfall about this job. The only thing is that I can't drink at night anymore. And that's where I meet boys.
That's okay. You can drink in the morning.
I sympathize, man. Well, that's not where I meet boys, obviously, because I'm straight, but, you know.
Yeah.
The bars don't work out well for me anyway, so it might be a good thing.
All right, you guys. Have a good show.
You Thank too. You. Take care, day. Chris. Bye-bye. Wow. That's pretty cool. Yeah, you see, you've captured a lot of people's imagination, you know.
Uh-oh.
Suddenly we're getting all these emails and stuff, you know, so it's pretty cool. You have
That's
that effect
awesome.
On people, yeah.
They're just opening up.
Yeah.
So my friend said to me, like, one time we were hanging out, and she just started going off, and she was like, I don't know what it is, but you just make me want to talk. And yeah. I'm like, I should start charging. Really. Like, anytime I get a job, like, my boss is like, don't tell anyone this. And then I start hearing about every other employee or their life story, and they're like, I don't know what it is. I'm like, I know. You just want to talk. I feel you feel open. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, but people do love your voice and stuff. Like you said, you should get into to phone sex and stuff.
I might have already done it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You probably already done it.
No, I will tell a true story. Not that any of my stories are not. But I was in Miami before I was moving to New York, and I was playing bingo at one of the Indian villages. My friend's like, let's go play bingo.
Oh,
and
my
I was
God.
Like, sure, okay. And I was sitting next to this woman, and she was like, what do you do? And I said, oh, I'm getting ready to move to New York, blah, blah, blah. She told me, you have a great voice. And I said, thank you. And she said, I have, you know, great job for you. And it was right after college. And long story short, which is hard for me, I ended up at her offices, which is a phone sex place. And she showed me the ropes. And it was an interesting experience. I don't want to say whether I did it or not, but I hung out there for like 2 or 3 days.
Really?
And then I decided after some time that it was not for me, because what I realized from either doing it or listening to other people doing it, I'm
okay.
not saying which.
You really think we're stupid, right?
I'm hoping so. I realized these men are just really, really lonely, and they don't even care about sex. They actually just wanted someone to talk to.
To talk to, right?
And seeing as most people open up to me,
you become a therapist.
I had the most repeat callers they've ever had.
Really?
Yeah, and I moved to New York, and she said, I have offices in New York if you want to work there. And I said, no, it's not really for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, again, they just wanted to blab and started hearing life stories, and like really the sex was like the last part of the conversation, because the first thing you're taught is, if you start off with sex, I mean, the phone conversation is going to be like a minute.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
You got to keep them on
right,
the line.
Exactly. But it's so interesting. It's such a business. They literally had atlases in front of the girls.
Mm.
And they would say, you know, on line two, there's a caller from New York. He lives in Greenwich Village. And you would open up your atlas and you would go to wherever they're living. And they wanted the caller to think that you lived near them. That way they actually had a chance to go on a date with you.
I see.
And so you'd put on an accent or wherever it is that they're from, and you'd act like you live right near them. And suddenly you're like their best friend.
Yeah.
And I was young, and I realized, you know what? I just felt really guilty, like taking like because they just wanted a friend.
Right.
So then I just figured, you know, another line of work, Sherry, become a friend and be everyone's talk show host.
There you go. Become a therapist.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, get something more respectable.
Exactly. So. But, you know, I just listen to girls doing it.
Yeah. Just listen, right? Yeah.
I hope here, my dad doesn't listen to this now.
Like, why? Yeah, just watch us. You don't have to do anything, right?
Exactly. But I saw them make a lot of money.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Anything that has to do with sex. And, you know, I mean, you have to feel bad for these men, you know? I mean, it's like when you get to the point where you have to pay to get someone to listen to you,
right.
It's pretty sad, you know? But there is a lot of loneliness in this society.
No, there completely is. Most of it starts, though, from within. They probably had people around them. They just, you know, some people shut down. Other people, like, reach out for help.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So they probably just shut down and lost everybody in their lives,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, you know, I mean, who knows? You know, people have got stories, like, you know, up the ass.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Have you ever been tempted to like sit with a homeless person and talk to them?
You're no.
Like, no, me neither.
Actually, I was. When we were downtown, I would pass by a few of them every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, God, I'm fascinated to know what do they do during the day. I never got around to actually bringing them into the studio
do they
and
do
interviewing
during the
them.
Day?
Yeah. I thought I'd do the interview.
They go
you
dine
know.
At Spago. At Spago.
I thought I'd do the interview on the street, but then, you know, you have to get all this equipment and everything. And I just thought that's too much of a hassle.
I'll go do it.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, let's
I really
do
would
it.
Do like on location, whatever. I have my little flip cam.
Yeah, you know, that's true. We can
They're
do
really
that.
Easy to do these days. You don't really need a bunch of stuff.
That's true. That's true.
I don't know. It might be fun.
Yeah, I know. So. I know. Homeless people are fascinating, I think, in a way. Yeah.
Well, no, because you always think, where did they, because they all came from like where we came from. I mean, as far as, you know, they had bigger dreams too, you know what I mean, when they were kids, and then you just wonder like what actually happened and where it, you know, which part of their path where they just went wrong, you know.
I just think mostly it's mental, you know, problems and stuff, you know, and nobody takes care of them.
Right.
They're not functioning.
They don't have the support around them.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we all have crazy things that happen in our lives, and it just depends on, like, which direction you take, you know, like, do you go down the gutter and shoot up heroin?
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, you go out and, you know, try to do good things, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let's call Neil. We're going to call Neil.
Yay.
He published the book, the photo book on Motley Crue. Yeah. Better get this over here.
<'Cause> what you're talking about.
I keep forgetting the name.
Hello.
Neil, good morning. This is Sam and Sherry calling you from L.A. I understand you're in L.A. as well.
I am in L.A. I'm right around Melrose and La Cienega.
Oh, that's where I live. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I'm on Sweetser.
I'm on Kings Road.
Oh, wow. Yeah, go ahead. Tell everybody where the fuck you live, man.
I was already bad enough through my email.
Live on the air?
Yeah, we are. We are. Sorry, I didn't mean to ruin your interview with the F word, but we'll stay clean from now on.
I'm sure Motley Crue never cursed.
Bad language on this show?
Yeah, like you never heard anything, right?
Well, I don't know if this is on. Oh, this is the internet radio, so I could do whatever I want.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
You sound like a rocker yourself, are you?
Are you? Am I a what?
A rocker.
Well, I'm loud and obnoxious and act like a little kid, so I guess I am a rocker.
You have to do drugs and get lots of sex to be an official rocker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that too, believe me, every night.
Yeah.
Last night.
Awesome. Are they still in bed with you?
You guys are good. You're in L.A. I didn't have to wake up at 6 o'clock to do an interview with you guys.
There you go. There you go. And if you ever stay up all night, you're invited to come to the show, you know, because I know it's hard for you to get up this early. But
So you guys are on borrowed time? You mean you've been going at it all night?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
No wonder you sound so beat.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm always full of compliments.
I
get along with the rock band so well.
Yeah.
I've never heard that I sound beat down.
Well, I didn't say you did, but if you come hang with me, you'll sound beat when I get done with you.
Only if I'm lucky.
Yeah, you'll be lucky, don't worry.
Yeah. Neil, her next question is, are you hot?
I don't know. Well,
hot and hung.
Yeah.
Well,
wrong answer, Neil. Wrong answer.
You had to hesitate. Forget it. That's why he hangs out with rock groups.
Yeah.
He gets their leftovers.
Yeah. No, they get my leftovers.
Nice.
So, Neil, you're obviously into photography. Have you been doing this for a long time?
Not too long, just 40 years.
Just 40 years. That's not too long.
Considering
you're only 35.
Still going on. Getting ready to leave tomorrow for the beginning of the wonderful KISS tour.
Oh,
really? Wow. And you're going to follow them with a camera as well?
Well, not like I did Motley Crue and Van Halen and bands like that. But what do you call it? I'm going to go out. I do a lot of work with KISS when it comes to studio work and stuff, and they haven't had a real tour in the United States for 4 years, so everybody's making a big hoopla about this tour, so I'm going to go out and shoot them for a few different magazines and probably some photos for their tour book and rock and roll with the KISS boys.
Sounds good.
That sounds like an awesome life.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Now, when did you first started following Motley Crue and taking their photos?
Hold on a second. Bye, baby. Mwah.
Was that the dog?
I don't mean you, Sam, either, so don't get any ideas.
I thought you were kissing the dog.
Hold on. Alex, stay!
He said he had a long night. It was the women he's letting leave.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on here at any given moment. So anyway,
this sounds like a prank call to me. It sounds like a prank call to me. You've got a dog in the background and stuff. You know, they do some of those.
One compliment to Zach Wilde, and then I got my kid's dog and blah, blah, blah. But everything should calm down in a second. So there we go.
Okay,
so
cool.
I started shooting photos with Motley Crue in 1983.
I see. Okay, so that's quite a while. Is that when they started?
Well, they probably started about 1981 when they officially got together. But, you know, when you're a rock band, you first get together, no one cares about you. You got to rehearse, and you got to build up a fan base, and you got to build up that following. So being a photographer, you don't really need to start with any group from day one. You got to wait till the bands get to a certain point before it's worthwhile shooting them, because, you know, either in the early stages or their clothing isn't right and their hair is not right. Maybe they kicked the drummer out or whatever. So it gets to a certain point with any band, whether it's Van Halen or Guns N' Roses or whatever, that you're like, okay, this is now when I need to shoot this band so I can make money.
Right, there you go, yeah. And besides, like you said, nobody'd be interested before they are famous and stuff, you know?
Well, not famous, but see, also that's another thing. Because you have to have the foresight when you're a photographer to go, this band's good. I see them going, you know, superstar. So
that's
once
true.
A band gets to that level, every parasite, maggot, leech wants to work with them, you
I
know?
See,
so
right.
Then they're more protective of their image. They're like, well, these guys weren't there in the beginning when we were struggling. Why should we work with them now? So you try to befriend the rock bands in the beginning when they're struggling and they're upcomers and they're working their way through the ranks, and that way you work the ranks with them, just like I did with Van Halen. I mean, I started working with them in 78. They weren't really a common household name. Same thing with Motley. I started with them in 83, right before their Shout at the Devil album came out.
Right. So you saw, like, you actually, like, saw the potential in them and knew that they'd be big?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I used to have a girlfriend that worked at the Whiskey A Go-Go, and she used to tell me, you got to hear this band Motley Crue, they do this song Live Wire. You got to hear this band Motley Crue, they do this song Live Wire. My reaction was, hey, no one can top AC/DC's song Live Wire. And then she brought home the Motley Crue Too Fast for Love album that was on Leather Records, and that was the very first song on the record, and she put that on for me, and I'm like, oh, my God, it just hit me in my face. It was Blitzkrieg, Full Attack, you know, head on. I was like, then, you know, Merry Go Round and Round and the Piece of Your Action and everything. I'm like, oh, this band's good. They're nasty. They're filthy. They're dirty. They're raw. They look sick. I go, I want to work with this
band. There you go.
I was like, you're talking about me?
Yeah. Sounds like your type.
I don't know, dude. We'll have to find out. So.
I wanted to ask you, so, I mean, what's it like taking pictures of them? I would imagine you probably don't want to get too involved in what's going on. You're sort of like the fly on the wall that's observing things. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I try to befriend all the bands I work with. I mean, you know, I'm like, you sort of guess that I'm sort of a rocker myself. So, you know, I'm not some, like, little suit and tie guy coming in to shoot them with the Poindexter glasses and the CPA behind the desk look. So, you know, I know how to hang with these guys and I know what to say and so on and so forth. So usually when I work with a band, whether it's a band I've known for years or whether it's a band I just meet, I know what to do and what not to do to make them feel comfortable so I can get the most out of them.
So you get involved in their lifestyle.
Well, I don't know about their lifestyle. They may want to get involved in my lifestyle. but most of the time, they're pretty much saying, you got to realize what the public sees of Motley Crue or Guns N' Roses. I mean, at the end of the day, when they all go home, whether it's Gene Simmons or Paul Stanley, they're basically just human beings like anybody else. I mean, if they want to get caught up in that, I'm a super rock star and I'm better than everybody else, that's not going to take them very far in life. It's not a good, you know, attitude to have. So, and, you know, they may play that. A lot of times bands come to my studio that I've never worked with before, and they'll walk in and sort of give me that, hey, you know, like I'm cool and, you know, who the hell are you? And then, you know, they sort of see how I work with them, and then by the time they're leaving and the session's over, all of a sudden they're like, hey, Neil, I got to tell you something. When I was a little kid growing up, I used to have your posters all over the wall, and I love your shots of Led Zeppelin and your shots of Van Halen. You know, and they come in, they're all cool and tough, and, like, egos are, you know, tripping all over the place, and by the end they're just like a little kid in the candy store. So,
right,
you know.
Right. So, I mean, did you get to befriend them? I mean, are you in a position where you can pick up the phone and call Tommy Lee or something and he would know who you are, right?
Yeah, oh, 100%. I mean, after, you know, I was at Tommy's 21st birthday party. But, yeah, I talked to him.
Actually, that sounds like a boring time.
I've been talking to Nicky Six quite a lot lately because he's actually a very, very amazing photographer in his own right. So in
yeah,
reality.
We saw the video he shot.
Well, I didn't see that. Was it triple X rated, or was it able to be seen by mommy and daddy and daughters and sons?
No. This is the famous video I'm talking about. Although I never got to see it, but I saw like still shots from.
Are you sure you aren't talking about the Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson video?
That's what I'm talking about. Isn't that what you're talking?
Oh, I said Nikki Sixx.
Oh, Nikki Sixx. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
No.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but the funny thing is. No one to this day, I don't think, really knows who shot that Tommy Lee Pamela Anderson video.
That's true. So, when they shooting themselves, or
that's what I thought.
I don't know. You know what? I watched it for about 10 minutes. I thought it was sort of boring. That's pretty tame for me.
Yeah.
I was kind of expecting a bit more too. I suddenly became the critic.
Well, all the girls like watching it because they like to see the size of Tommy's manhood. But,
yeah, there you go.
Other than that, I don't really care about that. But that was a little tame video for me, actually.
I agree. I was so excited to watch it, and I did. I was like, boring.
Yeah, it was boring, actually. I got better stuff going on here. So
listen, I mean, your photos are quite amazing. I mean, the quality, I think, of the shoots, and you portray them in, I think, in their element, you know. And although, you have had some posed pictures with them, although sometimes you catch them in action in that, in concerts and that. But I noticed that blood shoot that you did. Is that like something that you came up with, the idea?
Well, in reality, that was actually Nikki's idea. You know, Nikki, Nikki, and Robin Crosby, one of the guitarists from Rat, who later passed on, we were all three really, really great friends. So we used to hang all the time, and Robin lived right below Nikki's one-bedroom apartment. Robin had a bachelor. You know, Nikki was the rich rock star. He had a whole one-bedroom apartment back then. And, you know, so, we were all three, you know, hanging and going to Club Med Market, Martinique and stuff, and we were always like the fearsome threesome. So one day Nikki called me up. He's like, Slows, you know, we're off the road, and I want to do something really spectacular. I don't want to just do another boring photo shoot. So he goes, I want to do something with blood. I want you to go get some pig's blood. And I'm like, Six. I go, I don't know where to go get pig's blood. What do you want me to do, go to Farmer John's butchery? So I'm like, well, look, let me look at the options. So I went and I got the highest grade of theatrical blood that you can buy. And we came to my studio one day. It was, you know, me and the band, you know, and Vince, Tommy, and Mick, and Nikki, and we all shooting. And the very next day, Vince was getting married. I don't know if that was wife number 10 or wife number 1,000 or whatever. He's been married 1 or 2 million times. About 8 o'clock, basically, we finished with all the band shooting. We did a couple different backdrops. We did a gray and we did a white, and I took Mick up on the roof, and then Nikki looked at me and said, hey, Slows, you want to shoot some more? And I'm like, yeah, sure, Six. Let's rock and roll all night. So we went out and bought like a fifth of Jack Daniels, and then we called one of my quote-unquote motivational suppliers and got some goodies from them. And then we, you know,
like
proceeded to do, yeah, I'm trying to be nice to the radio people, leave it to their sick imagination. So, but then we just, you know, we just got real sick and demented and disgusting and threw, you know, the fake blood everywhere, and I had some red lacquer paint, and that's what you see actually dripping on the backdrop. That was dripping down. That wasn't blood. That was red lacquer paint. So what do you call it? So we, you know, that's, I mean, to me, that is probably my favorite photo session I've ever done in my career, the blood session. I just think it's great. And Nikki, on a 1 to 10, he was on 1,000 that night, just biting his guitar. He was crawling around in the blood. It was in his hair. It was in his face.
That was some good motivational goodies.
Yeah. I bet you wish you were there for that one.
So?
Yeah. I think she wishes she'd be there for every time you met Motley Crue.
Come on down, Susie. You got an open invitation.
Yeah. It's not Susie. You're calling her the wrong name because they gave him a... I don't know, your publicists still have the old show name. But
I'm looking at it. I thought you said it was Sherry. Is it Sherry?
Yeah,
it's Sherry.
It is Sherry, yeah. Yeah. But
well,
that's okay.
Well, I'm sorry, Sherry.
No, it's not your mistake.
Thank me and make me pay for my mistake.
So. She would love to, man.
Okay, well,
suddenly, like,
by.
Sam's
you
my
live
pimp.
Right by me, too. You never know what could happen.
We do live a block from each other.
There you go.
We can crawl home from each other's place if we have
to. Might have already.
Yeah. Hey, you never know. I'm losing brain cells every night. So.
Well, you don't need to be dumb to be with me.
I don't know. You never know. I may just play that way. So.
Well, Neil, you definitely sound like a lot of fun, and I'd like to invite you sometime, if you're interested, to come in and sit on the show with us or on a segment and stuff. We'd have a blast. And
love to. Where's the studio? Just curious.
We're in Sherman Oaks. We're not very far from where you are. So,
are you on by any chance Sepulveda in Ventura?
No, but not too far from there.
Down there doing another interview at a station. There.
It's
but
close enough to where we live.
Yeah.
Send me the details. Love to come on and hang and talk on your show.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, man. You sound like a lot of fun. The book is Motley Crue, A Visual History, 1983 to 2005. And I definitely love this. I put it on my coffee table. And, you know, I've never been a big Motley Crue fan, but lately I sort of discovered them. And so, you know, and then looking at the book, you really get like to get a feel of what their lives are like, you know. And I think you really captured, you know, some of the great shots of their concerts and the girls that hang out around them and all that stuff. So congratulations to you on the book. You must be very proud.
Well, I am, and I keep on looking because I got more books coming out, too, that are going to be just as good. So I appreciate you guys having me on the phone, and sorry about calling you the wrong name.
That's okay. Sharon. Don't worry about it. You're going on tour with Kiss tomorrow. I'm sure you have you know, some other things on your mind.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Maybe in the next couple of weeks I'll come down to the studio, and I got a ton of stories in the last 40
years. That'd be awesome.
Sounds awesome.
Share with everybody there, so we'll figure something out.
Yeah, it'll be a lot more fun when you're here rather than on the phone. So
I'm sure it is. Make sure Sherry's there for me.
She will be here for you.
Okay, I'm trying to get rid of me.
Sounds good, guys. So I'm going to run to the studio. Thanks for having me, and we'll talk later.
Have a great
day. Okay, Neil. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
What a fun guy.
Yeah,
huh?
Totally. I thought, you know, like it sounds like, I bet you the rock groups do get involved in his lifestyle because he sounds like the rocker.
He does. Yeah, I guess you have to be in order to take pictures like this and follow the rock bands.
You'd be able to last the day if you were like all suited up. And,
exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
How would you fare going following rockers? Could you hang with them?
Yeah.
You could.
Yeah. Why not? Of course.
I don't know. I think he should take you out for a day.
Yeah.
That'd be fun to watch you.
Yeah.
Like, it's so loud in here.
No, come on. I mean, I may look like straight to you, but I'm not. I mean, I'm
a
like,
little gay.
A little gay.
No, I know you're not.
No, I'm not as conservative as I might come across, but.
But it's fun to pretend you are.
There you go. You know.
I just picture whipping you.
Well, that goes. But no, the reason he called your name wrong is because they still have Sam and Susie there. So I'm going to have to actually adjust that with them, or it's going to stay Sam and Susie
no
forever.
No one ever remembers my name anyway. Except the Mexicans that call me Cherry.
Cherry?
Cherry.
Cherry.
Yeah, like the fruit.
Yeah. It's an unusual spelling of your name, though, because probably everybody calls you Shari, right?
Yeah, they do, but they try to spell it Sherry. Mm. But I always say, as soon as I say, just picture a Jewish mother going, Shari! Then you know how to spell it. But I rebelled against it because I heard it my whole life. They're always like, Shari, can you come here, Shari? And I'm like, oh, stop. So I was like, so we say Sherry. Yeah. It's not Shari.
Not Shari.
Right.
Okay.
But people try to make me fancy, and they're like, Shari. Like, no, it's just Sherry.
Awesome. Well, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back right after this.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. To call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
I've been trying to find a situation to straighten out my life. 'Cause in every part that I've been playing, something isn't right. Cause if what you do is a good feeling, you're working from your soul, and the love you give to the thing you do only make it grow.
Murphy and Brad are the confines the FCC placed on terrestrial radio. That's why I tune in to the internet and listen to LA Talk Radio. It's better than sucking cock. Oh my.
Oh my.
I mean, I like this radio show, but nothing's better than sucking cock. Come on. That's just a blatant lie.
She already said you're shaking her head in disbelief.
Those little clips like really amuse me. Like I laugh at them every time, and I'm at home going, Real American Heroes. It's like the theme song in my head. Wow, it's taking over my life.
Yeah. So you're still in one piece?
I am still in one piece, yes. Good. Always. Good. Always, always.
So, I mean, was that like a conscious decision for you to become like all positive and everything, or were you always like that?
You know, I never thought that I was until I've like reconnected with people on Facebook from school, and they said, what I remember about you, Sherry, 20 years ago is you were always smiling and always laughing and just always happy. And it comes from my mom, who, although... hers is covering up all her sadness. No, she was always smiling. There was always like just big smiles around the house, and even if it wasn't always felt that way, but I think it's events that have happened to me. My real spiritual journey started 3 years ago. Just from someone that was kind of like I was their grasshopper, you know, and they were more like my what do you call it? My master. Not in that way though. They just taught me a lot, and just being around it kind of just has taken me that route. But I always from a young age always knew I felt like this light inside me. It sounds corny, but like that things were always going to be okay, and no matter what situation, because I've had a lot of traumatic things happen to me, but I always just knew that I'd be all right. I push myself to the edge a lot of
times. That's good. I mean, you know, because when people go through a lot of shit, they become bitter, you know, and
I mean, I get caught up in the moment sometimes, but I always, there's this part of me that just always knows that everything will be fine.
See, and you're lucky because you have that place to go to, you know.
I mean, and it gets me out of, but that's also bad though too, because I can like take on, let's say like addiction's really hardcore, because then I'm like, you'll be fine in a week. So like for a full week I'll be like, whoa, let's go drinking, and my friend's like, do you have a drinking problem? I'm like, no, I'll be done with it next week. You know what I mean? Like, or I stay with people too long sometimes, you know, because even though I know, or at least I used to, like unhealthy, because I just knew that I would be fine and get out of it. So I push myself to the limit sometimes.
Yeah, well, that's good. You know, I mean, you got to do that sometimes.
Today a cop was sitting at giving someone a ticket, and the light was turning red, and I should have stopped, but I looked over and I was like, well, he's already giving someone a ticket.
Yeah, he's busy.
I'll get out of this one. And everyone else stopped, and I just drove right through, and I'm like, Sherry, sometimes you need to be careful. So
do you go out a lot? I mean, you are in Hollywood.
I am in Hollywood. I don't really like the scene, though. I'm not a, you know, big club girl at all. Like, I much prefer dive bars and playing pool. I used to go out a lot more, but I'm a lot more focused right now at this point in my life and on the career, and, you know, really, I much prefer a night at home, you know?
Yeah.
But with somebody would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be good.
You know, but I do get very social, so I like to go out and, you know.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. I mean, when you're single, that's what you do, you know? I mean, you stay home too much and you lose contact with everyone.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's why I was like, and I don't like to feel all like, my age is showing basically. Every time I drink, like the next day, even if it's not a lot of drinking, I feel it all day long. And it's such a horrible feeling. So I'm a lot better. I used to go out like 5 to 6 times a week. And now it's like maybe once a week, maybe twice a week, you know. But it's hard to meet, you know, we talk about meeting people in LA, and unless you're like getting out and being active, you know, you're not really going to meet anybody.
That's true.
You know,
and even when you go out, I mean, what kind of people are you going to meet? You know, the chances are that it's going to be tough.
Everyone always says, you can't meet the good people at bars and all that stuff. But I always think, well, I'm a good person and I'm at a bar. Like, why can't there be other me's over there?
Yeah, but you're a woman, you know. Guys are different.
Oh, well, you know, whatever. I want them to be different. But yeah, so I honestly think, like now at the point in my life, that it'll just come, you know, on its own. Like, as much as I talk about, like, I'm looking and I'm looking and they're hot and they have to be, like... It'll all happen.
That's good. It shows you're healthy, you know? You're a healthy woman. You'd like to get banged. And
more often
get
than
your
not.
Share.
It's been 4 months.
Yeah. So listen now. When I was listening to the show yesterday, I was listening to the replay. You mentioned something that totally flew by me, And you said they call you Niagara Falls.
Oh, no. Yeah. I was that was the one part of the show I was like, Sherry, that's a bit personal.
Yeah, I mean,
damn you.
To get wet at the gynecologist's office.
Okay, no, I didn't say I did. I said I always pray that I don't.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I'm always like, please don't, please don't, please don't. God, why'd you bring this back? Okay,
yeah,
good.
Well, because it's a big turn on for guys.
No, I was used to be really insecure about it.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, one of my friends.
I guess some women are, you know, because, yeah, I mean, you don't look at it like a sexy thing, I suppose, when it's you.
Right. I mean, yeah. And it's one of the reasons why, you know, I'm not attracted to women is like, you know, I was just like, why would you ever want to be with that? You know, yeah. It just seems like a big mess.
No, not at all. That compared to cum on your face, that's even more mess.
That's a good mess. But you can clean that up just fine. I always walk away like sparkling clean.
So yeah. When was the last time you had a serious relationship?
1994.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah. My ex-fiancé, which funny enough was texting me like at 1 in the morning last night, like, I love you, miss
you. You still in touch?
We had stopped for a while after he cheated. I had that dream. I think I mentioned it briefly yesterday that I dreamt he cheated on me, and that's how I caught him.
Uh-huh.
We stopped for a while, and then we got in contact like a few years later, and yeah, like he got remarried, and he has kids, and he was my first love, and always will be. And he always says it about me, too. He's like, there'll never be anything like as innocent as our love was. Like, it was really sweet, you know, until he fucked it up and cheated.
I guess you must have been pretty young.
We dated from when I was 15 till I was 20.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So a lot of it was during college. It was funny. I went on the Ricky Lake show.
You did,
as a
huh?
guest. Yeah, really? Like as a guest expert, like talking about how to get over your ex. Like 2 months later after I did that show, they got all this email like, wow, Sherry was so motivational and strong and all this stuff. 2 months later, he was living with me again. And all my friends were like, we're calling Ricky and telling him how he lied.
Yeah, there you go.
So,
but you were getting ready to get married at 20?
Yeah.
Really?
It was
you
one of those
that
things.
Much in love. Huh?
I was. And I just knew, like, I just knew. Although now at 35, I know, thank God I didn't marry him, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's an amazing person. And people always say, do you think you guys will get, because now he's divorced.
Yeah.
So people are always like, well, maybe, you know, you guys are getting back together. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Don't go for someone. Does he have kids?
He has one.
Yeah?
He has a daughter.
Yeah. Don't go for someone with kids.
Well, I think
start
at my age,
fresh.
Though, I know I want to.
Yeah.
Well, because I don't want kids, period. Definitely not my own. Why would I want someone else?
Yeah, there you go. That's even worse.
No, but I really feel like at my age, though, I'm not, you know, it's going to be hard to meet people that don't have some baggage.
Mm.
You know, and I figure if I'm bringing my big ass's baggage, yeah. So it's fair enough for someone else to bring something
yeah,
along.
Yeah, but if you don't like kids, you really should think about it.
I honestly like kids. I do. Yeah. I just don't want them to be my own.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, as soon as they start crying and all that, I'm just like, go. But I like to play with them.
Yeah.
I'm
sure.
Well, it's funny. I just submitted myself for an audition yesterday, and it was like, you know, mom must like kids. And I just stared at it for a while going, do you submit yourself for this? And I had to, like, look into myself going, could you be around children for a whole day? But, I mean, they're kids. How
yeah,
do you not love
they're,
them,
they're
you know?
They're great. They're great. But, no, I mean, when you have your own kids, it changes your life forever, you know?
I think that's the only reason why I don't want them right now is because there's still so much that I want to do. I want to travel the world. I want to get drunk every night.
There you go.
And have sex on rooftops. I don't know if I'd be like, mommy, come home. I'd be like, fuck off. last relationship was 1994.
Wow.
Yeah.
You must have met some guys.
It was like, you know, seeing each other for
material.
A week or two, but I wasn't in the place where I was ready to meet, you know, good men. I was in a lot of unhealthy, you know, mini pseudo sex romps where I always thought they would turn into something because they gave me that attention, you know?
Right.
And so I wasn't allowing. I think I was like fearful because I was so in love. I was so brokenhearted after that, you know, engagement, like truly brokenhearted. And then plus the relationship between my mom and my dad and how that ended. Like, I think it just scarred me for men, you know?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. And so that's why I was like attracting all these bad men, you know? Now I'm in a healthy place. Like, now I'm in a good place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I sleep with men without diseases.
There you go. Yeah, I know. I was cheated on when I was pretty young, like at 17 or something.
Really?
You know? And that totally, like, killed me completely. So, yeah, for a while I had, you know, I was pretty bitter.
Well, you think that it won't affect you. Like, you think, oh, it's just that one person. And that's what I thought. I was like, it's not men in general. It's just that one person, you know.
Right.
But I think subconsciously it does something
to
you.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a strong pain, though. You know, I mean, you feel betrayed and stuff, you
Absolutely.
Know, that it's hard to get over it.
So then you became the cheater?
No, I never cheated.
I've never cheated either
never
on anybody.
Yeah.
Ever. I've actually like come clean and said, you know what, I've been looking at this guy and I think he's cute, and because like that was our pact, you know, when we were together, is that if we ever had those feelings, we would tell one another.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Because I've been hurt, you know, and I respect people too much to do that to them.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean I'm not been tempted, but more often, like when I am pseudo seeing somebody, like I only see someone if I really like them, so it's all about them.
Yeah.
Which has probably been the problem because I'm really needy.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You want to hang out with me? Tell me you love me. Tell me how pretty I am. They're like, oh my God, I'm done with you, Sherry. Damn it.
Well, so it's time. Well, maybe we'll have a joint effort and we'll find someone for you. You definitely need to get, you probably tried like online dating and stuff, right?
Yeah, for 2 years.
Really?
Remember, I think I told you I went on all those online dates where they were all crazy people.
Oh, yeah?
I did it for a long time. I didn't do like the eHarmony, which everyone says is the ultimate.
Right.
You know, I did Match.com and then MySpace was a dating site for a while.
Really?
I even embarrassingly did Craigslist.
Really?
Yeah, but I got a lot of dirty emails.
I'm sure you did. That's not a place to meet a guy.
No, it wasn't, but it was a good place to have masturbation fantasies.
Oh, I see. Well, excuse me, I didn't go that deep.
Well, when you got some of the emails, like, because I was posting like real legitimate, like I put my picture up there, and not in the sexual part of Craigslist, the regular, you know, woman for man, and I wrote about me, and I literally within 15 minutes had 500 responses.
Wow.
And I read each and every single one of them. I totally did. But half of them were just like, come suck my cock. Well, your mouth this and that. And I'm like, didn't it say I was looking for love? And then I was thinking, oh, they meant love on my face.
Well, we're going to have to get you into J-Date, you know?
That's I don't date Jews.
You don't, huh?
No. Not that there's anything wrong with Jewish men. I've just never been attracted to them.
Really? Well, you don't know. You don't know what's there. But
my dad would love it.
I can tell you, I met my wife through there.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you guys met in Israel. See, I know nothing about you.
No. In fact, I was, you know, my first wife was American, and I've always been dating Americans and relationships and stuff. And then this sort of like came up, you know. I mean, we just sort of like saw each other, and it turned out we were both, you know, former Israelis and stuff. So
former.
Yeah. But it worked, you know, it worked. So I think
Did you know right away, like your first date?
Yeah, kind of.
I always want to know everyone's love stories.
Yeah. No, we met. We went on our first date. It was breakfast in Venice, and that was fine. That was fun and stuff, you know.
Nice.
But so it's a nice story.
I posted a YouTube video about finding a husband, you know, and I've gotten and it was kind of a joke a little bit, and I've gotten some responses to it, and then I thought maybe I will do that and like make it like this little show, you know, where but I'm trying to let go of that. I'm trying to just be open to, you know, when I meet the person, it will. But I think I told you that the first of this year, God told me, like, while I was hiking at Runyon, that I was meeting my husband this year. And I had this, like, vision of, like, I don't never pictured my wedding dress or anything. I'm not that girly.
Uh-huh.
But I did have this vision of, like, my veil and what my hair was looking like and my makeup. And I was like, I don't care who I meet. I just look good in my vision. Let me just get married.
Well, the year's almost over. You only have 3 more months.
I know. But
well, you never know.
Yeah, exactly. I can meet him today, later.
Yeah. Well, let's take a short break because I think our guest is here. I'm going to play the song you sent me yesterday.
It's called love this.
The Husband Song. So we'll play that real quick and we'll be back right after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, the man song.
He's the man. He's the man.
I don't take no crap from anybody else but you. I wear the pants around here when I finish with your laundry. Because I'm a guy you don't want to fight. When I say jump, you say you're right. I'm the man of this house until you get home.
He's the man. He's the man.
What I say goes around here, right out the window. And I don't want to hear a lot of whining, so I'll shut up. The sooner you learn who's boss around here, the sooner you can give me my orders, dear. Because I'm head honcho around here, but it's all in my head.
He's the man. He's the man.
And I can have sex anytime that you want. Because I'm a man who has needs, but they're not that important. And don't expect any flowers from me, because if I'm not mistaken, you prefer jewelry.
I'm the king of my castle when you're not around.
He's the man.
He's the man.
And I'll drink and watch sports whenever I want to get in trouble. And I'll come home when I'm good and ready to sleep on the couch. Because a man's got to do what a man's got to do, and I'm going to do what you tell me to, because I'm top dog around here, but I've been neutered.
He's the man. He's the man.
You the man.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk station, your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
Okay, and we're back, and we have our guest in the studio, and you're Erica Lauren, right?
That's right.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome to the
you.
Show.
Thanks.
And you were here on another show about a couple weeks ago.
I was.
And we met, and I invited you to come to the show.
Thanks so much. So,
of course, of course.
She's got a smile as big as mine.
Yeah, there you go. She's happy to be here. Yeah.
She realizes you're happy.
Yeah. She just knows we're going to talk about sex, so she's
oh,
in her element.
It's
going
to be a fun show.
So now, was there a reason you were here on a porn show before?
I'm still trying to find out what that reason was. Well, I had a lot of fun being here on this show before, and I got invited, and here I was, and talked a little bit about myself, which is always fun for me.
Yeah.
So what would you like to know about me?
Well, we'd like to know what you do for a living right now.
Oh, boy. Well.
Especially with that answer. Oh, boy. Yeah.
Well,
what do you do?
What do I do? Well, I'm an adult actress.
Uh-huh.
So all that encompasses.
Uh-huh. What does that
Where
encompass?
Where do I begin?
Yeah.
Where do I begin?
Yeah. Yeah.
At the
well,
toes.
Well, let's start with, when did you start this?
When I mean, did I start?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I started a few years ago, and I kind of got into the business in an interesting way. I was at a point where I had gotten laid off, and I was staring at my bills. And I also saw an ad that said that I could make a bunch of money.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, what the heck. So I'll just go down and check it out and see what happens. But, of course, being a little bit maybe older than the norm, not necessarily looking like a porn star, I thought, oh, somebody will just get a good laugh for the day. But you never know.
Right.
So I went and I took some pictures and actually sent them out. And I got booked like the next day.
Really?
I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
They felt we got a star here on our hands.
I'm like, this is great.
Yeah.
This is fun.
So in the beginning, you didn't think there was a big market for older women and stuff.
No.
And now, yeah, so then you realized, wow.
And there really is a big market for older women.
Yeah. Cougars, MILFs, I mean, it's all over. That's the big thing right now.
It is. We're hot.
Yeah. See, I think there's always been that of younger men, you know, being attracted to older women and stuff.
Yes.
It just wasn't out in the open, you
right.
know.
Right.
I mean, my God, you know, when I was going to high school, I wanted to bang all my teachers. You know?
You know, well, because you thought you had more of a chance with them than the young girls that didn't care about sex.
There you go.
That's true.
Yeah.
You should have taken them up on
right.
that. Or
but
something.
I think American Pie, that movie, is the first time like it became like really like acceptable. Like
yes.
when they were looking, you know what I mean?
Think
that was
you're
the
right.
first time that I became aware of like young boys really wanting the older women. You
oh,
know?
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
then at that point, I was just like, I either want to get older or I should just go for really young men.
Well, I love it.
Yeah. So obviously, you must like sex in order to get into this, right? I mean, you don't want to do it against your will.
She hates her job.
That's an obvious question. It's sex and money, Sam.
Sex and money. Yeah.
It's just horrible.
Yeah.
I can hardly get up in the morning.
You see, Sherry, you'll get both your favorite things, too.
No, you would think that that's what I would get into. I mean,
yeah.
I do need money, and I love sex.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
It's like if you do something you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, did you think at a point, I'm sure, in the beginning, how is this going to affect my life? I mean, you obviously have friends, family, things like that. I mean, it's
yes.
quite unusual, right?
Yes, it is, actually. And I tried to keep it, you know, on the DL there for a bit. Well, when I first got into it, it was kind of like a thing. Well, I'll do it. We'll see how long it lasts. And then when I just go back and get a regular job, I'll just quit. And who's going to see this anyway, was
right.
my thinking. And if some friend of mine did stumble across it, I figured, oh, they'll never admit it. So this was so naive on my part, of course, obviously. So I did go back, actually, and had the regular office job, office manager, executive assistant.
After that one
thing.
Movie?
Well, after a few, and a few months go
yeah,
by.
Yeah, they don't only make one movie.
Okay. No, I did it for a few months, and then actually, you know, I had been putting resumes out at the same time. So I ended up going back to the boring office job, and I really missed it. I didn't miss the office job. I missed the sex and
the
money
sex,
part.
Right.
She sent me pictures like with her coworkers at this office job, picturing them all bending her over the desk, yeah. like in the movies.
But I never told, but now and again, somebody would walk into the office and go, "You look so familiar," yeah. or, you know, I try to play it off like it was my evil twin, or no, you must be mistaken, I just have one of those faces. But I did actually end up still keeping my toe in the business for a bit because I still enjoyed it, and it's like if the job was really great, and I could, like, you know, really make money. Mm-hmm. And then finally, eventually, I got laid off again from the boring office job. And I'm like, you know what the heck? It's like I love doing this, mm-hmm. I can still have a life. And it's like, it makes the rest of my life possible, yeah. and I can still have time with my friends, but I still at that point really hadn't told my friends
right.
anything, you know, what I was doing.
Yeah. So how did your friends find out? I mean, you...
yeah, it was a funny story. Yeah.
They're like, what'd you do today?
I mean, here you are, like, you know, a regular friend and everything, and then one day you're like, yeah, like you're a porn star, you know?
Well, here's what happened with my best friend. This was, like, hilarious to me. Okay, so I never told her, and she's the kind of person I could just, like, tell anything, but I guess at the point where I was at then, I was like, well, gee, is this something I want to, like, always be doing? I'm not really sure. How are people going to feel about it? And mm-hmm. I guess I was kind of worried about, you know, what some people thought.
Yeah,
they
I think
really
it's normal to think about what's going to happen once you do
yeah.
it, you know?
And there is no keeping it a secret.
No, huh?
I promise you.
There's no privacy.
There's people
when you're
people
filming
do.
Yourself.
And it's out there, and, you yeah. know, people do know. So, but anyway, it was so funny. One day my girlfriend calls me up, and she goes, "You have to come over here, like, right now." And I, like, never ask you to do this, but, like, right now, you've got to come over. So I came over, and as soon as I get in, she holds up this magazine on the cover, and she goes, "What's this? Can I have your autograph?"
That's, like, the ultimate way to get caught, like, on a magazine cover.
Busted. Here's the funny part. I had actually done it, like, over a year before that, and it was someplace in Europe, and her girlfriend's boyfriend, who had only met me once, was walking by a magazine stand and saw it and bought it.
And he recognized
you.
Came
back and went, "Wait a minute, isn't this her?"
Wow.
Wow.
So it's like, of all the far-fetched things. So we had a really good laugh about it.
So she was really cool about it.
Oh, she was totally cool about it. And it's funny because she's the kind of person that, like, in her earlier life was the wild and crazy person. And, mm-hmm. and you know, like, in her 20s and in her teens. And I was, like, just the opposite. I was... I'm a straight laced.
That's yeah. why you came out later out of your show.
I did. I totally did. I mean, I was, like, almost boring. I mean, just, like, really, always, like, with one boyfriend, and then, you know, many, many dates later before anything, like, progressed beyond a kiss. You know, it's just really the opposite. So she was, like, totally cool about it.
So you never even ever had, like, fantasies about doing something like that? It wasn't even in your consciousness to ever get into that? It was just...
Well, you know, way back when, because it's, like, my age and everything now, things aren't like they are now, you know, with the internet, everything's so readily available and so many people in the business, and people don't really... You know, they don't think much of it. I mean, if you're an actress...
Not much stigma anymore.
It's really not. Yeah. It's really not. And I had done some mainstream acting and some things before. So to me, it's like, you know, just one level, maybe in a different vein. But mm-hmm. when you see things now, like on Showtime and HBO or whatever, you know, it's not that different.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that's really not that different.
Yeah.
So I think it's a lot more acceptable now, although I don't normally, like, when people say, "So what do you do?" But most of the time, you know, living in L.A., people don't really ask so much that question, because I find that so many times people are so self-absorbed that you can just, like, slide
it's
by
true.
That question.
They don't really give a shit, right?
They really don't.
Like, what do you want to know about me?
Yeah.
They really don't ask. It's hysterical how they don't ask. And if they ever do, it's like, "Oh, I do some work, like, with some websites." And nobody ever goes, "Gee, what? Tell me more."
Yeah.
It's just really kind of like, uh-huh, okay, whatever. And then, you know, on to the next topic, which isn't about me. So,
well, it's kind of taboo.
Really,
it's kind of taboo to ask people what they do, because LA has such a stereotype
yes.
of, like everyone cares what you do and what you drive and all that. So I purposely don't even ask people what they do because I'm like, I'm going to fit that stereotype.
See, there you go. And so many people will feel like you, so they don't even ask what you do. Yeah. So yeah. There you go. So I don't really, you know, if it comes up, it comes up. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. I'm just walking around being me.
Were you married before or kids or anything?
Well, I don't have any children, although I play the MILF. I have two cats. But I have been married twice before, and I have a boyfriend.
Oh, wait, do your ex-husbands know?
No, they don't. They don't. No, my first ex-husband I don't keep in contact with. I got married, like, really young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My second one,
did you have, like, father issues and stuff when you were growing?
You know, that's a good question. Yeah. It's really strange because I guess I do kind of fit a stereotype in a way because I had this strict household. I was the only child. Mm-hmm. And, I really did. My mother was very strict. I mean, if I was on dates, it was like, you know, the chaperone thing I was like 16 or whatever.
See, I had a very open household, and I'm still married. So does this mean later in life I'm going to become conservative?
You are going to, flip.
Yeah. No, I didn't know that there's going back.
There's no going back. There's no going back for me, that's for sure. It's a lot more fun. Look what I was missing.
Yeah, there you go. So is your current boyfriend younger than you?
He is.
Really? By a lot?
By about 11 years,
really?
Actually.
Wow.
Yeah, he is, and he looks even younger. So
really?
I do. It's funny. I have gotten that before where it's like, oh, is this your mom? Like, oh, my gosh. Not like I look old enough to be his mom. But he really looks young, and what can I tell
you're
you?
You're his mommy in the bedroom.
That's right.
So 11 years is not a big difference, though, right? I mean, you guys have stuff to talk about.
Yeah. 8 years later, we're still talking.
8 years. Wow.
Yeah.
Did you meet pre-porn? Or
we did.
Okay. Yeah, obviously. I don't think she...
Pre-porn.
Yeah, because you probably haven't been doing it for that long, right?
It's about 5 years.
5 years.
Yeah.
Okay, so you met before that.
Yeah,
wow. Wow, so how does that happen where you decide you're going to get into
it? Did you run it by him?
Yeah.
You're like, I'm broke. Maybe he would have said, okay, I'll give you money.
Yeah.
Well, kind of what happened, he was just like, I just don't want to know the details so much. Now, this is funny because I do boy-girl, but I do girl-girl. And mm-hmm. I had never done girl-girl in my real life. Ever.
Right. Wow.
So it was like something totally brand new, but actually I love it. Women are fabulous.
Oh,
I had
yeah.
no idea how fabulous they
yeah,
were.
There you go.
Do you like Niagara Falls?
That's an inside joke.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
I'm sure the answer would be yes.
Yeah. Say yes to everything.
Yes, of course. Why not?
Yeah.
But he likes the details about that, the girl-girl. The boy-boy girl. No, he doesn't want to know about that. You know, it's like he doesn't really ask me, like, so tell me the details. Right. How are the camera angles? It's like...
I don't think the average guy would be okay with that. Like,
yeah,
it
I
sounds
don't
like
either.
He's just so... No, it's... I'm not saying that. I mean, I'm not saying
well,
that he shouldn't be.
Well, he's probably not an average guy.
Yeah, but I mean, just to be like, okay, well, I just don't want to know the details. Like, it seems like it was just such an easy, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It really wasn't that traumatic.
Yeah.
And I guess, I get back to the boring personal life. It's like, for me, I mean, like for some people, and everybody's different. It's just, you know, sometimes it's born out of a lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
and then it's like it's just one more step. For me, it was like, well. You know, it's a form of acting, and I enjoy it, and I get to play, and I get to be as wild and crazy as I want in that perspective mm-hmm. and in that environment.
Right, you can be someone else.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that makes it
be
perfectly
the real
okay
you.
In my book.
Like, it's not really me. I'm playing other people.
Yeah, right.
But I guess if the cameras aren't rolling, I guess I'm just, you know, me home cooking and scooping the
litter
box.
But when you get home to your boyfriend, are you still wanting to have sex?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay.
I don't say I gave it the office.
It's a long day at the office.
Yeah, I got to keep my skills sharp. You
yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
No, really, it's just, it's different. You know, it's different. It's
yeah.
Different.
I mean, have you had like a lot of sex before you got into porn and stuff? You know,
well,
I mean,
I
were you always
so.
Like going out of your way to get a lot
to
of
get
so
sex.
You're always horny and stuff, right?
Well, it's really interesting because I figured it out the other day. Gee, I've actually really been with lived with three different men, and it's taken up half my life.
Really? So you're catching up now.
Just making up for lost time.
Yeah, there you go.
So I never really had sex with a lot of different men. It was like pretty much, you know, if I was in a relationship, it was with those men.
Right.
But I always had a lot of sex. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Why not?
So you're totally into it.
I'm totally into
it. Yeah, so it's the real you on the screen, I'm sure.
That's it.
Yeah.
Only the faces have been changed. Yeah. Well, yeah. I guess that's it.
Do your parents, are your parents still alive?
No, they're not, okay. And they are turning over in their graves now. As we speak.
Yeah, they must be.
Well, my dad is too, except he's alive.
Yeah, I'm sure I would not have their stamp of approval, but you know what? What difference does it make?
Yeah.
Just doesn't. You got to live your life, and I mean, my personality hasn't changed. I'm still the charming person I always was, I think.
Well, no, that's what's important, though. I mean, you're not hurting anybody. You're doing what you want to do.
Exactly.
You know, and if they have an issue with it, on them.
Exactly.
That's what I'm learning.
Yeah,
it's a lesson, I tell you.
Yeah.
But it's true. It's true.
So you've been doing it for 5 years. Is that like off and on, or were you consistent with it?
Well, in the beginning, it was a little off and on when I got interrupted, so rudely interrupted by the office job that I went back to, which turned out to be, you know, a mistake in the end. Uh-huh. Well, not really. There are no mistakes. But anyway, I went back to this, and I'm perfectly content and happy.
Really? So, that's good.
I won't be
Do you work full-time?
I don't
know what full-time is in porn world, by the way. I have a 40-hour week work week.
Well, in 5 years, you must have made a lot of movies, right?
Yeah, that and websites. And
how many scenes do you think you've shot?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, it's really kind of almost hard to keep track of it.
Yeah,
you can
shoot
one thing, and it gets chopped up and sold to, like, a bunch of other different things.
That's true.
Kind of almost hard to tell. But no, I don't spend the hours working at it like I did going, you know, punching in a clock or whatever, because you just don't have to.
Yeah.
Okay, so, now that we have porn people, I need to start asking technical questions.
Okay, ask away.
I watch a lot of porn, and I'm...
Oh, you do?
I'm a critic.
I do now, because I kind of like to see what's out there and what the trends are and what people do and if I'm doing it right.
Yeah.
Do the trends change? Sometimes you like it on the face, sometimes you don't.
There you go.
It's out.
You got to stay current.
These days it's in the mouth, not on the face.
Right. Next week, it'll be something else.
So you see these men going for a long time, and, you know, everything's like cutter. They have consistent shots, and then they always cut when they're about to orgasm, like to another shot. And I just want to know, are the men really lasting this long?
Oh, hell no.
Okay.
Do not try this at home. No, that's the interesting. No, not really. I mean, they have the same. Okay, guys, if you've worked with me, a slam on you. For the most part, I'd have to say, you know, people stop and have to get into the mindset, and some people are easier and quicker at it. And yes, I've even worked with some very young guys who, I don't know, nerves are one thing and the next, and it has taken some time.
Yeah.
You think you're there for an hour? Well, chalk up another hour. Yeah.
Do they really have, like, fluff girls on set and stuff, or is that, like, just a rumor, a myth?
Some sets do, but I've actually never worked on one that had a fluffer. And
I thought about that as a job.
Yeah, let me suck on those dicks, but
behind the camera. I've seen ads. That could be a fun job. That could be fun. It could be.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
I'm getting a little excited here.
You should look into that. You'd probably be very good.
I know.
Yeah. And then she'd graduate to actually acting, I'm sure.
No on camera. But yeah, it varies. It really does. I mean, some people you just get in and things just work out and it just flows really smoothly, but... that's the difference. You know, a girl can fake it, of course. I mean, obviously.
I just didn't know if they constantly had to keep stopping because they were going to come and then they had to stop,
or
if they're
happens.
Just so used to having sex that they could just go and go and go.
Or sometimes they just can't do it.
Yeah.
Enter the stunt cock.
Yeah. Now, that's a good job.
Yeah, there you go. I've had that happen too, actually. Yeah. Oh, gosh. This was maybe just even a couple of months ago. I worked with this little guy who had, I don't think he'd ever really done that much. This may have even been his first scene. And he was tall and thin and very pale. And then it turned out when it got down to the moment, it just wasn't happening. And so There was someone else on the set who was prepared to go, but actually the gentleman that filled in for him was total opposite body type.
I mean, really? Like,
very hairy and short, little hot belly. I mean, I don't know what they did with that footage because
airbrush.
I just would take more airbrushing than anything.
Yeah.
And, you know another fantasy video. I have about porn? Sorry, I'm so involved.
No, into it, yeah.
When I'm watching it, I always wonder, if the cameramen are getting turned on, because if I was doing porn, that's who I would turn to. I would, like, look at the camera and be like, you want to come here, don't you?
Well, some do. It's really interesting because, there's a lot of times you go on a set and it could be just any set. You might as well be shooting a commercial.
Yeah.
And everybody's talking about their family.
Very
and
technical.
Pictures of their kids. And, yeah, right. It's very technical and it's very about
Yeah, it
look.
Becomes a business and a job after a while, you
it
know?
It does.
Yeah.
It does. And then there's other times where it's, like, less... less of that and a little more maybe amateurish on purpose. And also sometimes you do see people get very turned on about what they're doing. Well,
yeah,
it is porn.
Sounds good.
Well, you say it's a business, but you still say, like, you love it and you love the sex. So as much as it's a business, it's still really enjoyable for you.
Oh, it's a fun business.
Yeah. Because well, you can tell. You can tell when someone, when you're watching porn, you can tell when someone's actually really having a good time or they're just acting.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, right.
It's very obvious.
Yeah. You kind of have to get into the mindset that you're going to have fun. And a lot of times it takes a sense of humor because some of these setups are just over-the-top silliness.
Yeah.
They really are.
The guy dressed as the nerd. Those are my favorites.
Exactly.
When they try to make a science fiction movie out of a porn.
Right.
You know, those are weird.
Beam me up, cocky.
That's good.
I haven't tried
it's
writing,
silly,
don't worry.
Silly stuff. Oh, gosh, that would be helpful. And speaking of writing, some will have scripts, but a lot of times the director will just tell you, okay, here's the setup, and after you just stop laughing, like 5 minutes later, you can finally go shoot it, because it's just so off the wall.
Yeah.
I mean, do they tell you technically, okay, now start on the couch, and then you guys are going to go over here, and then you're going to go there?
Yeah, a lot of times they do that, yeah, because they're setting up the lighting and things.
Right,
and
all the positions, from what I understand, sometimes you get into positions that are not necessarily pleasurable, but
right.
just for the camera.
Exactly.
Right.
That's why it's really different when you're doing it at home as opposed to like on the set, because a lot of times it's really, you know, how you're going to look with the lighting.
Exactly.
And, you know, put your face a certain way and arch your back more, or, you know, your leg needs to be up this way. And a lot of times you're like, you've got a foot cramp or a hip cramp, and I'm not one to stop and go, oh, ouch, this is uncomfortable. I just keep going, and I just keep smiling through it. I'm not going to be the person to make those cameras
stop. Ouch, can you take
stop.
Your dick out of my ass? I'm a little uncomfortable.
Well, sometimes that actually happens.
Really? So what about that? Do you do anal as well?
I'm just
actually,
leading you into these
well,
things.
I do, actually. Yeah. I do. And actually,
it's almost like expected today, right?
It is. And I don't even really know where it came from, but, you know, it is expected. And
gay actually, people.
Well, that's a good possibility there. It's the first thing I ever shot. Believe it
really?
Or not,
oh, really?
was a DVD called Elder and Anal 19.
So. Elder and Anal, I love it.
And there were 18 DVDs before that one.
Wow. Really?
On the same topic, but yeah, and I really hadn't even done it that much in my own personal life.
I love that you went from conservative to like the first movie. I'm gonna do porn and it's gonna be anal.
Yeah. But wait a minute though. I mean, isn't that supposed to be where you keep that sort of like to the end so you can earn more money?
That's what I've heard now
It's too late.
Oh, is that like a commodity? Like you save it and they offer you money?
Yeah,
to
exactly.
Do it?
Yeah. Because because I guess that's like the Holy Grail or something, you know?
Now you tell me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't know any better because it's like I've since heard from the more business perspective, which I did wise up over time, you know, as far as like the business perspective goes. But it was like the first thing somebody asked me to do, and I'm like, well, okay.
Yeah, I'll do it. Put it up my ass. I don't care.
Go big or go home.
As long as the money's still green.
Exactly.
Wow. So doesn't that, was your boyfriend then like, where, did you used to do it anally with your boyfriend?
Well, he's the first, the current guy I'm with was the first one that ever even asked me, because I never even...
I never thought about it.
No one ever asked me. I never thought about it. I didn't know it was something people really really did in their real life, you know? I don't know. I didn't know. And so then I tried it, and it was like, okay, this is interesting.
Interesting. That's not necessarily a good thing.
I don't know if I've ever heard it described that way.
Interesting. What's this?
Yeah.
So are books.
Yeah, I should have stuck with books. But it was fine. It was okay. All right. And then I ended up doing it. But I have since heard exactly what you're saying, Sam, that you know, you start slowly, maybe do some solo.
Yeah, like girl. Yeah, solo, like girl, mm-hmm. and then you graduate to girl, boy. And yeah, wow.
I didn't know. I just blew it right out of the box, right off the start.
So what is it? So now you have like a set figure that they pay you every time, or is it... I mean, does it change a lot between one movie and another?
Oh, as far as what you get paid?
Yeah, the pay.
Well, it really, a lot of times it depends on the production company, because some productions have like a lot bigger budget than others.
Right.
And I think it all evens out in the end. I mean, like, I have to say it kind of varies as far as like the rate goes. I mean, obviously like for Anal, it even pays more than regular boy girl.
Right.
So, you know.
What about girl? Where does that go on the pay scale?
That's pretty low,
I think. It's above solo.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's really easy. It's so easy.
Right, but just
because
you're a porn star doesn't mean you're a lesbian, so I don't see why that would... I mean, I don't see why that would just be like, oh, that's nothing.
Yeah.
You have to pay me more.
Yeah, well because...
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, because, you know, I think it's easier for women to just start with women rather than with guys, you know, because
that's
it's...
true.
Yeah.
You know where their sloppy mess down there.
Yeah.
You know where all the equipment is. It's, you don't have to get the MapQuest out. You know, I feel like
I know a man's body better than a woman.
There you go. So for you, it'd be different.
Yeah. But it's interesting. You know, there are some girls that will only do girl, or then once they get in a relationship, they will say, you know, I'm not doing boy girl anymore. I'll only do girl.
Right.
But I don't really see the difference, except here's the thing. It's like you go work with a boy, and you don't really know what you're going to get. It's like a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get. And sometimes anatomy just fits better with some people than with others.
Mm-hmm.
And I am... how do I put this delicately?
Don't say it.
I'm not a huge person down there.
Okay,
it doesn't take a whole lot for moi.
Really?
Yes. And if you've ever seen a picture of the goodies down there, you'll see that to be true. So I don't need a big old monster cock down there.
But so you're good with the Asians.
Yeah, sometimes you get
the Asians.
Yeah, that works out beautifully for me. No, but just, you know, nice average size, whatever. But I mean, there are guys, obviously, in porn that, you know, that's kind of like their calling card, and they're a little more, and it's not the best fit in the world. And then if
so, you can't say that. You can't say I don't do men over 8 inches or.
Well, I know there are some people that will go out of their way to make a point of it, but I just like, okay, whatever, and it's okay, fine, and I just
just smiles about everything.
Whatever. Yeah. Pretty easy
going.
It's a
little uncomfortable, but it's okay.
Yeah, as long as I get fucked every day, I'm good.
There you go.
And a paycheck.
But there has been a time or two where it's like, ooh, my best acting chops are called out here.
So now let me ask you, where can people find you if they want to see you and everything? I mean, I'm sure by now people are like masturbating, but they don't know to whom.
Oh, that's a good visual right there. I masturbating, we don't know to who.
But,
I said you had a big mouth in the beginning, so that probably got him started, the big smile.
Oh, I love it. That's so funny. Well, of course, you know, the internet is a fabulous place. And, and one place you can look is actually on my website, Erica Lauren Milf, M-I-L-F, that's ERICALAUREMILF.com. Mm-hmm. And I have an area in there that says filmography. And if you click on that, it'll lead you to
your small vagina.
My unstretched youthful might as well be a teenager vagina.
Well, you suddenly have a lot more hits on your website right now.
And you can follow me on Twitter, and even says it on the first page. So follow me.
Yeah.
I'll keep you posted.
Yeah. I don't know. You're talking about the tight pussy, Sherry. I might actually start cheating.
No, you still have two more years of being good. Oh,
I see.
Boy.
Okay.
He's getting the 5-year itch.
Yeah. Oh. You get the 2-year contract.
We figured the 7-year itch. You know?
And he's 5 years into his marriage.
Oh, boy. Well, in dog years, you're already up to 35, aren't you?
Everyone's at the dog years.
Yeah, what is it for the dogs here?
Dog year marriage.
Well, so you still keep active. I mean, how often do you film movies now?
Well, let's see. I've got one I'm doing this Friday. I love it if I'm working a couple of times a week. That makes me happy, and that's bloody good.
Yeah, that's good money, right? That's good money.
Yeah,
so you're living
totally.
Nicely now, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm happy. And
I'm sure the boyfriend doesn't mind
things.
The money. Yeah.
He doesn't mind a bit.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about going on location earlier. I want to go sit on a porn site and come back and report.
Yeah, sure. Okay, well,
dude,
there's somebody to invite you.
I want to go on a set and just watch.
Well, come on down. You probably have a good time.
Yeah.
No, not that good of a time. I'm going to be the reporter.
You might end up going to the other side.
Nah. Although they probably won't talk to me about it.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm much more an observer.
It's sexy, but it's sexy fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's fun. It is.
Oh, no, that's good. You have a fun job.
Yeah. It is fun. Yeah. But I do laugh a lot.
Yeah, that's good. So where did you grow up? I mean, are you from L.A. or did you move here from somewhere else?
Oh, well, I grew up in the South, actually.
Oh, really?
I've lived here for 15 years, and I grew up in New Orleans and Baton Rouge. And then I lived in Atlanta for about 8 years. And then I moved here, and now they call it the Southland. So, hey. Can't get away from it.
Yeah, so I guess you did come from a conservative background and stuff, right?
I did, really.
There's some dirt going on in New Orleans.
Oh,
some dirty South.
Yeah.
It always did. Yeah. I guess I just was a little.
But you very much have that Southern belle, like, you know, even the drawl and the whole, like, look. Like, I would never look at you in everything porn. Ever.
Which kind of works to my advantage.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
It's just me who happens to be doing porn.
Yeah.
Gee, what happened to her?
Well, it's just the whole conservative act and the whole, like, it's its own story in itself.
Yeah. It is.
There's nothing like seeing, an older mouth sucking a young cock.
That's what I think when I bring the 12-year-old home.
Sherry will stop at nothing.
You said it's okay to say it on air now, so I'm just pushing limits.
Say anything. Push that envelope.
I'm like, fuck everybody. I suck 12-year-old cock. I really don't. Yeah. I have to say that.
But that's not rape, you know. If the guy's consenting, even though
it's a fantasy.
No, they arrest those teachers.
Yeah,
they arrest those teachers that do it. So.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, because I guess under 18 they figure that you can't really give an intelligent consent, you know.
Well, it's true. Yeah. I agree. But you're obviously intelligent enough to drive though, so
yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. But not drive into a pussy in front of the
That's true.
Who sets these age limits anyway?
I don't know. 18, you can change the world by making a vote for a president.
Yeah.
No, but 21, but 18's too young to drink.
I don't get
the ages.
Growing up in the South, though, that's what's really strange. It's like I tell people now, it's like it was a different time because I remember being 16 and you could go in the bars and you could have a drink as long as somebody was a little older. It didn't matter. I mean, it was just different.
Yeah, it was different. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, working in the restaurant business, I have parents that come in with their kids and they always try to get their kids drinks.
Yeah.
And not always. They're like, he can order them. They order a drink. And I was like, I'm sorry. You know, I need to see your ID. And the mom or dad is like, no, they can have a glass of wine. I'm like, no, they can't. They're like, but I'm giving permission. I'm like, but I'm going by the federal law.
Yeah.
And I can lose my job.
Yeah. So that's not worth it.
But it's weird that parents, you know, with young are just like, okay.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, now, as conservative as my household may have been sexually, I would say as far as that went, it was like, kids in Paris or whatever having wine with lunch. I guess you can too if you want to. But I'm seriously, I'm not a big drinker, but I guess that's because it really wasn't a no-no in my household. It was like, if you want it, there it is.
It's another thing you have to rebel about, right?
I didn't have to rebel on
At
that.
At least you're not an alcoholic porn star.
True. <Yeah. laughs> It could be worse.
Yeah.
No, I really don't have any other vices. I guess this one's big enough.
So have you So, I mean, so it's usually younger guys that are with you, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm 54. You're not going to see too really? Many older yeah. guys.
Yeah, well, yeah. But, yeah.
Oh, no. No, there's this one guy who's older in porn, and he's like one of my favorites.
Oh, Ron Jeremy?
No. No, I think he's like this French guy. He's this French guy on there, and he's kind of old, and he's my favorite one to watch.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know his name.
Why do you like watching him?
Because he's really dirty. No, he just knows how to. He just knows how to talk to the women, you know. And he's really into
Ooh, he's
it. And you could just
in the French accent.
But I mean, he just really
enjoys. So you're into
enjoys
the dirty talk and stuff, huh?
No,
a very verbal kind of person.
Oh my God. I really like shy men.
Sounds like shy 12-year-olds.
I know, between your altar boys and the 12-year-olds.
You went to 12-year-olds.
You know what's funny? I don't even know his name, because then I feel like that would be crossing a line if I knew a porn star's name.
Yeah.
Like, then I'm really
couldn't
into
get,
porn.
Yeah,
I'm
couldn't really get into that into it.
Because then I'm like a fan.
Well, there's nothing wrong with older men. Actually, it's funny. When I was like a teenager, I always went out with older guys.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. And then at some point, I started, like, when in my 30s.
Yeah, well, you
like,
go where the sex
age.
Is.
Exactly. And there's some fabulous older men out there. There are.
Yeah.
There really are. I have no objections. I'm an equal opportunity
employer. I kissed a 52-year-old about... Ooh. 6 months ago for the first
and
time.
How was it?
She's like, ooh, I'm fucking 49 years old. She's like, 52. He's really
34.
Old.
I was 34. No. It
was
wasn't.
It nice?
The idea of it later was than in the moment. Like, because he kissed me and I kind of stopped him and I was like, without being rude, I've never kissed a man as old as you.
What a great thing to say.
Huh? I know. It would, no, but I didn't mean it rude. It was just, I think it was because I wasn't really physically attracted to him.
Oh,
you know, the only thing that was hot was like more of his attitude. Like I was outside on the balcony of the bar, and I already knew him beforehand, but he had sent me a text. Oh, no, I kiss strangers. Okay.
All the time.
No, fuck strangers. Yeah. Go on.
And you get paid. I'm the dumb one. No, the only reason why I entertained the idea of the kiss is because this was the turn on, is that he had sent me a text message while I was standing out there, and he was watching me, and it just said, turn around, let me see your ass. And I was like, oh my God, what is wrong with you? But there was a part of me that I was like, that's
your ass
sexy.
Is in the back, why don't you turn around?
It was just a little aggressive and sexy. And so that was the only reason why I entertained the idea. But then I kissed him, and I was like, you're 52.
Aww. Well, you know, age, as they say, is just a number. And some people are stereotypical, but some people are not. And there are, like, some really hot older men.
Yes, absolutely.
George Hamilton comes to mind.
Yeah,
ooh,
he doesn't do it for
that's
me.
Very old, though.
Yes.
by any measure.
He is timeless. And some people are timeless, and they really are. And when you think about it, it's really about how many revolutions you've made around the sun. Does this have anything to do with your anti-aging gene, or like what?
Yeah.
You know, it's really how you take care of yourself.
I think
and
if
your
nothing
attitude.
Else, there's something to be said for experience and stuff like that too. You know, I really do.
I mean, the young though too. Like honestly, young men don't. I'm not attracted to young men either.
Mm. Uh-huh. So that's why you got a fucking problem.
No old men, no young men.
I would say women are very easy to do.
Well, no, I mean young men are hot, but like if you can't, you know, stimulate
you
my mind, like, I mean, I know it's such a stereotype, women like minds,
no,
but I
true.
Do, like, I want to be able to talk to you. I mean, we don't need to talk about like neuroscience because I don't know anything about that, but I mean, you know, you gotta fuck my mind.
Yeah. No, it's true. You gotta be the whole package. Yeah. And hopefully as time goes by and as a person gets older, you become the whole package, because if you take good care of yourself and you've got the confidence and you have some knowledge, it seems like you should be the whole package the older you get.
Right.
You know?
That's true. Yeah.
I feel like I'm the whole package. I'm not even really joking. Like, I just feel, I guess, because I'm so comfortable with myself now, and I know who
great.
I am, and I embrace, you know, my small amount of flaws.
I love your attitude. And it only gets better, though.
That's
what
I keep hearing.
I feel better than I ever felt in
really?
My life.
Really? Wow.
My figure
just
is
getting banged
now.
10 times a day.
Yeah. What the fuck?
I hate my life. I'm having sex all day.
I'm excited about it. I mean, there was a point, I have to honestly say, when I turned 40, I was in a different place completely. I was so depressed. I really was.
Yeah, I was
so depressed. I thought it was like, oh my gosh, it's all downhill, because that's what you're led to believe. Mm-hmm. But I woke up, got better, and it's like as the years went by, it's like, wow, you know, a lot of it has to do with grooming and attitude. And if somebody looks older, a lot of times it has to do with just grooming and attitude and styling and things like that. It's not that you just disintegrate and automatically gain 100 pounds.
Right.
Yeah. No, the 40s can really be some beautiful years, you know, because, I mean, you're still young enough to have fun, and but you have the experience as well.
Yeah.
You know, you're more mature and stuff. You do
it's
you make
good.
Less mistakes in that.
So is this your last good year, Sam?
That's the last fucking good one, man.
That is the 50s all downhill.
She was depressed. I'm devastated at 50.
That was 40 was my tough age. I was really depressed for about 2 weeks. But actually, I got over it. And then as the years went by, it's like I actually look forward to it.
Yeah.
I look forward to it. And I really realized something. It's like you might as well just announce your age. I know that's so LA.
No, I do.
But announce your age, because you know people are under the impression that that the older you get, it's like you can't do all these fabulous things.
Yeah, and it's like it's shameful.
Over.
I mean, even women in their 20s don't want to talk about age, you know?
They don't.
Just because it's
become
like
this. My roommate
says
she's so old,
this.
And she's like 28, yeah. You know? And she was like, I'm so old. I'm like, no,
oh
I'm not.
Gosh.
Like, I love being my 30s. It is my favorite time that I've ever had, you know?
It only gets better.
Yeah.
It's going to get better and better. I mean, look at me. It's like even just like doing the whole porn thing.
Yeah.
I mean, how old was I? It's like, I guess I was like 49 when I even like started.
Right.
It's like, isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
but I mean,
it is.
Who knows if you're going to be 100 plus, all the different things you can do in your life. Why not experience
it? You're like
a
sales lady for porn.
Am I?
Like, come on, join the club.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Everything's great.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Sign on the dotted line.
Sex and money.
Here's a contract.
All right. Well, we're out of time, folks.
All
Erica,
right.
You're so much fun.
Aw,
thank you so much
for
coming.
You guys are too. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And we'll have you come back again if
I'd
you'd like.
To.
I'm sure there's still a lot to talk about.
Absolutely.
And that's, we'll be able to talk more intelligently after we watch you in action.
No, you're not. You're still going to ask about tits and ass. Come on.
Yeah, but then I'll be more educated about hers.
True.
I love you guys.
All right. So it's ErikaLaurenMilf.com.
That's it.
And you can catch her there. Don't just Google Erica Laurel, because I couldn't find even one picture of you.
Oh, no.
It seems like an ordinary name, you know? And I did not have the
so
porn filter on either. So definitely it's Erica Lauren Milf.
Erica Lauren Milf.
Okay, sounds good. And so that's that. Cherry, thank you so much again.
Of course.
Always a great fun. And we'll be back here tomorrow.
Now it's time for the best morning show on radio, broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio in Studio City, California. Get ready for Sam in the Morning.